Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, names 434 and 435. These names are all similar. Is translation required? Mahakosha. Kosha means treasure house. So we have the term Kosha Dhyaksha, which is translated as treasurer, one who's in charge of the treasure, treasury. Yeah, treasury, I guess you do. Then Mahabhoga, who has all enjoyment. And Mahadhana means great wealth. So these names are very similar. Obviously, if we're going to talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it means he has all wealth. There's no meaning to this idea that is floated around Daridra Narayana, God as a poor man. Although this idea seems to some to be very good, the idea of seeing God even as the poor man, it's actually, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, extremely offensive, because the very meaning or the reason that we in this material world would recognize Narayana as supreme is because of his wealth and his power. That's what distinguishes him from us. Of course, when we come to Krishna, then we, those who are seekers after pure love of Krishna without any thought of wealth or majesty, then these points are not so important to them. But if we are to understand God, then obviously he's the most wealthy, and to say he's a poor man is very offensive. Now, to see God in everyone and in everything, that's good, but to say that the poor man, someone who's in that position, they're suffering from their karma, from some sinful activities, therefore they're to equate them with Narayana, that is most sinful. Of course, even the rich man, to equate him with Narayana, is incorrect. Although we may equate the king with God, the brahmana with God, because they're his representatives on the world, in this world. However, even them, if we think, there may be a great powerful king, but even if we think that he is directly non-different from Narayana, then that becomes a great mistake, which in the past many emperors made. It used to be all over the world that in various civilizations that great powerful emperors, they were equated by their peoples with the Supreme God. And they thought that themselves, but obviously they weren't. So it's very important to understand all these points very clearly. Otherwise we'll get in a big mess, big trouble. So great, great treasury. He is the reservoir, the receptacle. Everything is in him, all wealth. Even the fabulous wealth of great wealthy people. The land of India was famous. In the Western world, travelers would bring back stories to Europe about the fabulous wealth of India, which made the wealth of the kings in the West seem insignificant. So they had so much wealth But that's only insignificant compared to Krishna, because Krishna has all wealth. Yad yad vibhuti mat sarvam srimad urjitam eva va tat tad eva avagacchatvam mama tejong sa sambhavam. Anything wonderful in this world tends to awe us. If a big snake came crawling in this room, which is less likely now the door's been closed, although the door wasn't closed for that reason, we'd be awed by its threateningness, its sense of danger. Or if a crocodile came in. You have inland crocodiles in Sri Lanka? Yeah. So that could be a danger when you go swimming in any big pond. Then just to see it, it looks, oh, very frightening. It is very frightening. They have such power. They can snap so quickly and break your whole body. So we become awed, which just shows how small we are compared to Krishna, who single-handedly destroyed the armies of Jarasandha 17 times. Just for instance. Jarasandha, massive army, and Krishna comes out alone and just destroys them all. So all opulence is within Krishna, all wealth, particularly here wealth is mentioned, because people are very interested in wealth. People are very interested in gold. For wealth, the people, they will kill their own children, their own mother. People are overcome by greed. Very dangerous. For the sadhu even, very dangerous. Kanaka. Two things are mentioned as being very dangerous for the saintly persons who are seeking after perfection. The first is Kanaka, gold, and the second is Kamini, women. But Kanaka is mentioned first. So it can be very dangerous, but when we realize that all wealth is in Krishna, and we cannot own it, we can have a semblance of owning it for a short time. We may say, I have got so much gold. But what does it mean that you got it? Because just in one lifetime, in a short blip of time, you think it's yours. We find in the Bhumi Gita of the 12th canto of Bhagavatam that Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, is laughing at all these kings who thought, she gives a long list of names, including Prithu, some great pious kings. Maybe Ram also, I can't remember.
Ram.
Ram's also, maybe a different Ram. There are so many Ramas. Yeah. She's laughing that they thought that I belong to them, and they fought amongst each other to establish I own this earth, but they don't know anything. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return, says the good book. The body is formed of earth, mostly. Human bodies are mostly formed of earth, according to Vedic chemical reckoning. And earth and water, all the ingredients are there. Fire, air, all the ingredients are there. So this body is formed from earth, and it will again become earth. And in the meantime, we think it belongs to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. There are several names in Vishnu Sahasranam which emphasize this point. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is His. We can't really claim anything to be our own. Therefore, we have the first verse of Isha Upanishad, Isha Vasyamidang Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatang Jagat Tena Bhunjita. What is that? Tena Bhunjita Yena tyaktvena bhunjita magrita kasya sridhanam. Dhanam, who does this dhanam, who does it belong to? We are allotted a certain amount of wealth for our use in this world, but we should know whom to actually it belongs, and not claim authority or lordship over anything. So Krishna is the great reservoir of wealth. He has everything. What is his great treasure? Now, different commentators have commented on this in different ways. What constitutes his great treasure? What is the essence of his treasure? Some say dharma. Some say ananda. This is following the Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahma, Yad Brahmeti, that Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayant. There's the that from which everything comes, that in which everything exists, in which everything enters. And there's a whole series that Ananda, what is it? That is Brahma, that is Ananda. So these are all indivisible qualities, inseparable qualities, but ultimately from his own perspective, his own greatest treasure is Prem, in which Ananda, Dharma, all of these are subsumed, and Prem means specifically his love for his devotees, and most specifically for his female counterpart, Srimati Radharani. So she is the, this is the Gauriya. The Gauriyas can see this. So treasure, in the Vedic understanding, treasure is, or in any pious or moral, human understanding, wealth is not simply for accumulation. But wealth is meant for, yeah, accumulation obviously, otherwise it wouldn't be wealth, but then that is meant for distributing to others who need it. The king accumulates money, or but when there's a time of need, say there's a famine or something, then he procures food grains, maybe from a neighboring kingdom or whatever, with the wealth that he has taken from the citizens and distributes it for their need, to fulfill their need. Also the king, with the wealth that he has collected from the people, then apart from the administration of the state, protection of the state, then he also undertakes works for the public benefit, such as digging wells, making roads, and so on. So Krishna, he has inexhaustible wealth, which means that unlimited, inexhaustible. He's been distributing that from time immemorial, and he goes on distributing it. So he's also the most kind. In that regard, that he's not a miser. He's not wealthy by being a miser. But rather he wants that, to share that with everyone. And he's so kind and so much wanting to share that with everyone that he personally comes to this world and invites everyone to share what I am. I am willing to give myself to you. That is his kindness. He is everything, he owns everything, he's far greater than us, but he's willing to give ourselves, himself to us, if we give ourselves to him. It's a great deal. if you give everything you have and to someone, and they give to you everything they have, and he's much wealthier than you, then it's a good deal. course, in this world, people are afraid of being cheated because they may not believe it. Generally, if someone comes to you and says, "Here, I invest on this, you'll make lots of money, we can split half and half. You invest the money and I gave you the tip, so we'll go on half and half." They say, "Yeah, this person's a cheater." Yeah. Or, give me a loan and I'll give it back to you in 2 weeks with 50% interest. Sounds great, doesn't it? But how can you trust such a person? So it's difficult for people in this world to get trusts because they're so used to being cheated. Therefore, the sadhus, they broadcast these messages of Krishna and try to convince people that what Krishna says is true. Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami. You won't lose by giving yourself to Krishna. You'll gain completely. People are afraid. We have to convince them. Atma nikshepa. This is the one quality mentioned among the six of sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna. Sharanagati. Atma nikshepa. Throwing oneself at Krishna, just without reservation. Completely giving oneself to Krishna. Atma nivedam. The kosha, that also means a covering. Particularly, there are the five coverings which are mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad, I believe, which have been the subject of much commentary. The five coverings, that is called Annamaya Kosha, the covering which is of Anna, which generally known to mean food. Then Pranamai Kosha, Jnanamai, Vijnanamai, and Anandamai. So Srila Prabhupada has explained this to, I'm saying it's been explained in various ways by various commentators, but Srila Prabhupada explained that in the lowest stage of consciousness, one is only thinking of oneself, thinking of food for oneself. And there are certain living beings who they're only, practically their whole existence is just getting food, that's all. They don't. So it's a very low level of consciousness. For instance, a baby, they don't. All their interest is human baby. Just food for me. Then pranamai means we become aware of other pranis. There are other living beings also. Jnanamai. That means to start to come to the spiritual platform, to wonder what everything's all about. Spiritually, to try to get spiritual knowledge. Vijnanamai means realization of spiritual knowledge. And Anandamai means to actually come to the perfect stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So these are all different coverings. We're covered by various levels of material consciousness. Of course, Anandamai, that is the perfect stage of realization. So in that stage, that may not be a covering, although devotees on that stage, they can also be as if covered by Yogamaya. They're in such bliss of loving Krishna that they don't even recognize that He is the Supreme Lord. And Bhagavan is the Maha. So there's Annamai Kosh, Pranamai Kosh, Jnanamai, sometimes called Manamai Kosh, Vijnanamai Kosh, Anandamai Kosh, and then Bhagavan is Mahakosha. He's beyond all of that. So that's another way to explain Mahakosha. So So if you have anything else here about that. All my little bits and pieces of paper. Then Mahabhoga. Bhoga means opulence or enjoyment. So it's a similar name. But this gives the idea of enjoyment. Wealth is not necessarily, it's often associated with enjoyment, but not necessarily. In fact, at least in the modern world, we know of misers who are miserable. Aneka chitta vibhranta, maya jala samavrata. Always full of anxieties, being covered by the, fully covered by the net of maya, of illusion. So generally their anxiety that someone will come and take my money. They become so, they don't even know how much they've got. They've got so much, but they can't. Still they're in anxiety that they'll lose it all. Whereas Krishna, he's not worried. He's in no danger of losing anything. He's just enjoying. The really wealthy person, Tejas Prabhu told me that he used to run a some kind of symposium. He used to bring together all rich people in Asia with rich people from the West, big, very big people, and bring them together so that they can discuss and make mutual investments. So he was friends with very, very big rich people. And he said there was one person in particular from Switzerland, and they just used to talk very freely. And he presumed that that person presumed that he, Tejas, was also a billionaire, because such people, I just said they're in anxiety, but some they may be very relaxed also among the company of others, because other people are on their own level, because with others who are on a lesser level, they're always afraid that they're going to try and do something, that they want something from me. People who are rich, it's very difficult for them to trust anyone as a friend, because they think this person's only coming to me because they want something from me. So among billionaires, they can relax. So Tejas Prabhu described that. Because he was very relaxed, because he wasn't, anyway, he wasn't interested in money for its own sake. But he was doing that as a business, I guess, to support his family at that time. So Krishna's relaxed. He's just enjoying. He can enjoy. He has an inexhaustible treasury. Even if he did give everything away, it'd still belong to him. Constitutionally, everything's under his control. So he's in no anxiety. His only anxiety is to deliver the conditioned souls. And that he does by enjoying. He dominates this world and brings others back to him. Ananda chinmaya rasamat. What is that? Ananda chinmaya rasat. What is that? No. Ananda chinmaya rasat matayap manasu. Yah praninam pratipalam smaritam upetya. Ilayatena bhuvanani jayat jajasram govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. He conquers over this world by his blissful leelas, by his blissful pastimes. So how does Krishna run the world? By running and spotting in the fields of Vrindavan and having his blissful pastime. This is Krishna's management technique. Not recommended for everyone. Maybe we're not Krishna. He has his agents. Parasya shaktiya vividhaiva shruyate. Swabhavaki jnana bala kriyata. Natasya karyam karananja vidyate natatsamas chabhatikas tradition. Everything goes on by his energies without his concern. So Krishna is able to be the great enjoyer. All enjoyment is within him. This we should always remember. He's Mahabhoga. We may have a little bhoga here. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonya evate. Adyantavanta kaunteyana teshu ramate buddhaha. We have a little enjoyment here. What is that enjoyment? Tripyanti. What is that? Tripyanti. Yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. Tripyanti neha vimokan. No. Anyway, I can't remember. Kandutivan manasijang visahita. Tripyantineha kripana bahuduka bayati. The itching sensation. Yanmaituna di grihame di sukham hitucham. Kanduyanena karyo yava dukkha dukkha. Our enjoyment, we think is very enjoyable, but it simply creates more disturbance. Therefore, we should not engage in it. We should tolerate it, just like the itching sensation by scratching it. We think, very nice. But the pus, the oozing increases. But with Krishna, there's no bad effect from his enjoyment. So we should know that real, great enjoyment is Krishna. If we really want to be happy, then we have to be happy in Krishna's happiness. Not by imitating him, by serving him, by acting in a way that we will be happy, we will be happy. Pratipalam smar, that verse from Brahma Samhita I just quoted. His pastimes, they are as reflected in this material world. It's a perverse reflection. So Krishna is Mahabhoga. Mahadhana. There's a very nice, one of the commentators here has given a very nice commentary that Lord Rama, there's so many people who are helping him in various ways. Of course, no one's helping him, but he gives them the chance to serve him. He'll give them gifts. You take them, but he didn't give anything to Hanuman. So Sita asked him that, well, you gave so many things to so many other people. Why didn't you give to Hanuman? And Rama said, he's already given to Hanuman. I've already given to Hanuman something which no one else knows about. He's fully satisfied with that. You can ask him. So, maybe you've seen the picture, Hanuman pulling open and showing his heart. In his heart is Sita and Ram. So he'd already given himself along with Sita to Hanuman. So he was fully satisfied that he gives away the greatest wealth there is, which is himself, he gives to his devotees. And therefore makes them Mahabhoga. They can enjoy the great wealth of he who is himself, all wealth, all enjoyment. It's immense, immeasurable, unimaginable, never diminishes, actually always increases. So we shouldn't envy Krishna. We should be very happy. Krishna is so great, so powerful, so happy. Why should he be happy? Why is he always happy? Oh, we shouldn't envy. Be happy that Krishna is happy. Then we can be happy. So yeah, again, wealth may be measured, and for different people have different ideas. Some people, they think to have great knowledge is great wealth. They value that very highly. Some people think that beauty is very important. Health is wealth. We don't realize that until we get ill health. But however one may conceive of wealth, it's all in Krishna, to the greatest possible extent. So, Hare Krishna. If you want wealth, well, you can ask Krishna. He can give you very easily. Just a tiny, tiny, tiny drop. But then it's an illusion to think we can have wealth. at all. Yeah, so Mahabhoga. By if we try to participate in enjoyment of this world, we simply suffer. If we try to participate in Krishna's happiness, it's all auspicious. Completely different. The concept is the same because one is the perverted reflection of the other. It's just knowing where to place our love, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, that love, we have to know where to place our love. The center of love is Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. You have a question?
Yes. Regarding wealth in Krishna's service, we are instrumental, we are using the wealth, but still, as in a brahmachari ashram, it's.
In Krishna's service, we're using wealth, but brahmacharis are not supposed to be wealthy, so it seems to be contradictory. Well, that's resolved in the understanding that anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayanjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchite, that we can utilize all the things of the world without being attached to them for our own personal sense gratification. We can use them seeing this relationship with Krishna. But yes, of course, we have to be careful not to take things in the name of serving Krishna and become ourselves very opulent, and in this way, in the name of serving Krishna, we're actually increasing our own material enjoyment. So be careful. Anything else? All right then, Hare Krishna.